Welcome to the Pascal Gwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become what God wants you to be. Today's message is Those Who Honor Fathers.
October series, Those Who Honor. Last week we saw that there are two groups in every church. God defined people in two groups. Just like I told you before, there are just two things of everything. Men and women, day and night, you know, heaven and earth, hell and heaven. Most of those things are just two. To make your choice easy, curses and blessings, life and death. Just to make it easier for you to just choose one. Equally, there are two groups in every church. Those who honor God and those who despise God. He said it himself. Those who honor me, I will honor. So they get a certain result. And those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. We told ourselves last week that because there are only two groups, as far as God is concerned, we need to choose our group well. And I was telling you last week that we need to choose to belong to the group of those who honor God. Because there are only two groups, you can only belong to one. You are either honoring God or despising God. Please take some time to go and watch that message I preached last week. Take some time to listen to that message. Because in that message, I'm presenting to you how we dishonor God. And I'm also presenting to you 7 ways you can honor God. Because not everything we do actually brings glory to God or honor to God. How do you move from dishonoring and despising God to honoring God? I've shared 7 keys or 7 secrets, if you like. Please go listen to that message. And listen to it from beginning till end. Because some of you, you start listening to a message and you stop along the way. And you think you understood the message. Take your time with that message. Because Jesus, God says, those who honor me, what will I do? I will honor. May God honor you. Amen. And when God honors you, it will show. That's what God did with Jabez. God blessed him indeed. In other words, God honored him indeed. When God is honoring a person, he makes a show of the person. There's no way people will not notice that the hand of God is on you. When God is the one honoring you, not you bringing glory on yourself using social media. Praise God. What does it mean to honor? To honor someone means to show great respect towards them. To show great respect. Honor means to acknowledge a person. I taught all of this last week. To honor means to celebrate a person. To honor means to reward a person. Or to award them. You know, to give them an award. Amen? Amen? This morning, let's go quickly to our next group. But before I do that, let me read our foundational scripture in the book of Romans 13, verse 7. The Bible says, give to everyone what you owe them. Yes. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Now, the word of God cannot be broken. You can speak in tongues all you want. If you are not honoring this particular verse of giving respect and honor to those that are due respect and honor, you are bringing a bumper in your life. I promise you. Christians of today are taking the word of God as a buffet. They choose this, they reject that, they know this, they don't know that. And you think, you know, the Bible says in the book of Romans 28 verse 8, all things work together. Always understand that you cannot be having two things working together and you get a great result. You need many things to work together before you can see certain results. For a car to move from point A to point B, many things have to be working together. Some you see, some you don't see. But if they are not all working together, that car is not moving. So your life, maybe your car, the lights are working, the wipers are working, but maybe the wheels are not working. Or maybe you see that there's always something. Some are working, some are not working. And because some are working, you think it's okay. But when you not try to get things to work, it's not moving. There's no progress. For you to see speed, for you to see certain results, a lot of things have to be working together. Prayer must be working, fasting must be working, the word must be working, demons must be cast out, but also honor must be working. So you see, I'm just trying to bring all the tools you need for you to make it. So don't pick and choose. I think I was more into what Pastor was preaching two months ago. All things work together. Not few things, all things. Including this one. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Today's message, those who honor fathers. Those who honor fathers. Oh, yes. This morning we want to talk about looking at your father in the right way. You understand? Looking at your father in the right way. Isaiah 51 verse 2. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Look to Abraham, your father. Now I want you to replace your father, Abraham, with your father's name. And I want to ask you a question. How is that look? How is the look? When you look at your father, how is the look? What kind of look is it? Because God says, look to Abraham, your father. This morning I want to teach about looking at your father the right way. Hallelujah. Let's start. A father, who is a father? A father is not an old man. A father is not a man with gray hair and a white beard. That's not a father. That's an old man. Because you don't need to be an old man to become a father. And you don't need to be an old man to give birth to life or to something. That's why every time you guys hear father, you already in your mind, you have a picture of an old man with a stick. You know, like, I don't know what you see in your mind. But that's not a father. Some of you became fathers at 17 years of age. So are we not saying that you are an old man? No. So to be a father, and those of you that have a problem when a young man is called a father, you still say, how can you call that young man your father? It's because your understanding of fatherhood is very twisted. A father or a mother has got nothing to do with age. A lot of you are fathers and mothers now, but are you old? So who is a father? First of all, we need to define what a father is. If you don't understand what a father is, you will not be able to honor fathers. And it's dangerous to not honor fathers because, as you're going to learn now, a lot of what you're going to be and do depends on the father. I promise you. So a father is someone who causes someone or something to exist. Anytime something that did not exist is now in existence, whoever has been the medium through which that thing has been brought into existence becomes the father of that thing. A father is someone who causes someone or something to exist. Proverbs 23 verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life. Who gave you life. And if you go to the same scripture in the Good News Translation, very profound interpretation. It says, listen to your father. Without him, you would not exist. Without him, you would not exist. So by nature, if you look at the word father in Hebrew, it's Abba. In Latin is pater. Pater. It means source. Where something is coming from. The origin of something. That's what it means. It doesn't mean a person with a lot of money. It doesn't mean a person with four houses. It doesn't mean a person with the latest car. It just means the source. What gave birth? What from where something originated from? Are you listening to me? That's a father. The source. The source. Now, I want to help you understand. The Bible doesn't say, listen to your father and your mother. Without them, you will not exist. No. Listen to who? Your father. Why? Very, very simple. You are who you are because of your father, not your mother. It is proven scientifically. Your mother can only produce one type of chromosome. Only your father has the ability to produce two types of chromosome. So, your gender is not determined by your mother because your mother can only produce one type. Do you understand? But your father produces X and Y. I think your mother can only produce, I think, X. It's X, right? Huh? XX. Yes, your mother can only produce XX. Always XX. Do you get it? So, but your father produces X and Y. X and Y. So when your X, the X of your father, comes to your mother and meet her X, do you get it? Then you have a girl. But when it is the Y of your father that goes and meet the always continuously X of your mother, then you have a boy. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say to you? That is how it works. So, your father actually is the person that produces who you are. It is his seed containing either the X or the Y that produces who you are. So the Bible says, listen to your father. Without him, you will not exist. Are you listening to me? Now, can I help you? Listen carefully. Listen carefully. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, I think chapter 1, God tells Jeremiah, before I conceived you in your mother's womb, I knew you already. So long before Jeremiah became something anyone could see, God already knew Jeremiah. Jeremiah already existed.
The Bible says that God knew you before the foundation of the world.
Are you listening to that?
But you have to understand that even though God knew you before the foundation of the world, and you existed in God before the foundation of the world, what caused you to become a person we can see? I mean, even though you existed already in God, everything existed in God, for it to become existent in this realm where we can see you, touch you, talk to you, it took your father's seed. And I want you to understand it very, very well. That there are many things that exist in God, in the spirit, but that can never exist in the natural because a father has been dishonored. As much as God wants you to come on earth, God will always have to pass through a father for you to come on earth. A father will be needed, even though you already exist. Everything about you exists, is there. Long before there was even earth, it already existed. But for it to manifest, the seed of a father must bring you here. And I want to repeat to you, you cannot exist as anything without a father. The same way you cannot exist as a baby if a father is not involved in one way or the other. You cannot exist as a manager if there is no father involved. You cannot exist as a pastor if there is no father involved. You cannot exist as anything you are trying to exist as. Because for you to even be here, a father was needed. Are you listening to me? Listen carefully. John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." The Son, he can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father. Jesus kept introducing God not as Jehovah, not as El Shaddai. Jesus, his whole ministry, he is the one who introduced God to you as Abba, source. It was not just a respectful way, it is, he was trying to make you understand that without a father, nothing will be there. Nothing will be there. He says, but what I see the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. You are celebrating Jesus today. We all celebrate Jesus. But Jesus is telling you, everything you saw happened there, it is all the Father was doing. I just copied what the Father was doing in like manner. In other words, for Jesus to succeed, he needed the Father's input all the time. The Father's input. Now, he make it even wilder in John 14:10. He says in John, he's just talking, first I read John 5:19. Now, look at John 14:10. He says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me, he does the work." The Father does the work. So when you are one with a Father, it is not you working. Whoever that Father is that you have connected with, you just show up and that Father works. Where is that Father? That Father is in you. The Father of Jesus was in Jesus. So Jesus is telling you and me that it is not him working, It is the Father in him. He told you in John 5 that he can do nothing of himself. He does what he sees the Father do. And I started by telling you that for you to even exist, to be here, a Father was needed. A Father was needed. Jesus who came to exemplify how a man should live. He's showing you the key. You can't live without a father. Those of you that have caged fathering as just giving birth to somebody at biological level, it's a very, very low level. It's just the initiation. But it's actually very powerful because you will not even be here if a father is not involved. Equally, you cannot become anything. Do you understand? If you could not be made physically without a father, he is not telling you you cannot be made into any other realm. And it explains why you don't have much. It explains why certain things are not present. It's like Jeremiah being in the spirit saying, I want to come by myself. Jeremiah is in the unseen world, but Jeremiah is saying, God already made me. I want to appear by myself. No, Jeremiah, you can't appear by yourself. Even though God knows you, you can't appear by yourself. You will still need the input of a father somewhere for you to cross over here. Even though you went to school, you studied this, you know this, you'll be surprised that even with all that knowledge, you still can't cross here. You still don't have this. Even though you know how to do the hair, you know how to do this, you know how, you'll be surprised that with all of that, you are still unable to cross here. Because to be made into anything, a father is needed. A father is needed. 2 Kings 2:12 to 14. And Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father! My father! The chariots of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw Elijah no more. And he took hold of his clothes and tore them into pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah. Elijah is not the biological father of Elisha. Elisha's father is Shaphat. That is his father. But Elijah has seen another father. And as Elijah is being taken away from him, he doesn't say, my mentor, my leader, my prophet. And that he could have called him any of those things. At that time, Elisha understood who Elijah actually was. He is a bridge into a dimension you want to get into. And without a father, not without necessarily a prophet, without a father, you cannot become. Even though you have been around for many years, you need a father. So now, finally, Elisha sees Elijah the way he's supposed to see him. A father. And he calls him that, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And from that moment, something drops. Let me remind you of something. It is not as if, as Elijah was going up, he took the mantle and gave to Elisha. He didn't do that. The Bible said the mantle fell. In other words, Elijah was going with his mantle. As Elijah is rising up with the chariots with his mantle, a sound is made from the earth. My father. And God says, no, he has seen what he was supposed to see. You cannot take the mantle anymore. Let the mantle drop. And the mantle fell. The Bible doesn't even say that Elijah threw it. It says it fell. Hallelujah. It fell. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. It was with Elijah. And Elijah was intending to go to heaven with his mantle. And I can tell you, without this mantle, Elijah was going to be nothing. Nothing. Even though you spent 30 years or 25 years with the anointed man, with the person, but you haven't gotten what he was using that was going to allow you to also now start operating.
fell in front of him. And when he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan, then he took the mantle of Elijah. I want to ask you a question. Which mantle do you have when you are standing before Jordan? You are trying to cross to some possibilities. Stood before the Jordan River, and he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He connected to the Father. He's trying to break through. He's trying to get a result. But he knows that there is nothing in him that can produce that result. He's been following this man, and finally he has seen who the man really is. The man is his father. And he called him father, and something dropped. Something dropped to him. And it is that thing that dropped on him that can answer to the Jordan River, not Elisha himself. You see, Jesus says, "The Father in me, the Father in me, he does the work." So the Father in Elijah, Elisha was Elijah. And it is that Father in Elisha, called Elijah, that was able to open that Jordan River. Many believers are faced with all kinds of Jordans. They can't cross them because they want to use their own capacity. Nobody can father them. Nobody can lead them. They are a father, they are a son to nobody, they are a daughter to nobody, they honor nobody. And they remain on the other side of the Jordan forever. The other side of the Jordan forever. You can never call anybody your father. I feel sorry for you. They can't cross the Jordan of marriage. As beautiful as they are. They can't cross the Jordan of recording a CD. As talented as they are. They can't cross the Jordan of getting their first job, as educated as they are, as qualified as they are. Why? Because there's a father they are dishonoring. There's an Elijah they are not pursuing. And the Elijah has gone away with his mantle in his hands. Now they are back in front of the Jordan River, and there's nothing to use to break through the river. All they have is their own torn clothes. Their own effort that is producing nothing. Nothing. All he needed to do was to take the mantle that fell from Elijah. And he struck the water. Where is the God, the Lord God of Elijah? And the Bible says, and also as he struck the water, it was divided. This way and that. And Elisha crossed over. Somebody here is going to cross over. Somebody here is going to cross over. And I want you to understand something. I told you, every new dimension requires a father. So Bishop Oedipo was right when he said, without a father, you don't have feathers to fly. You are stuck on the ground. You are stuck in the same position. Because it takes the feathers of a father to cause you to rise. But you think you are self-made. You think you know. You think you are beautiful. You think you are educated. And that's where your problem is coming from. You are unable to honor fathers. You are unable to honor fathers. You don't have a place for fathers in your heart. And your Jordans have remained locked. And they are increasing in water. They are increasing in water. They are having what we call floods. This morning, by the grace of God, your eyes will open like the eyes of Elisha. Your eyes will open and you will see that what can help you cross the river is not with you. It's with a father, not a prophet, not a pastor, a father. Without a father, you cannot exist at any level. It takes a father, a father. Jesus says, as I see my father do. Jesus says, I can on my own do nothing. The Father in me, the Father in me. There's a voice that I hear, you can't hear it. There's the direction I'm getting. It is that direction that leads me. So the Father in me does the work. The Father in me knows better. But who is that Father in you? Who is that father in you? So many fatherless believers. Fatherless. I tell you, they are self-made. I'm not here to be claiming allegiance and wanting you to be calling me father. Please, don't even do it. Because if you do it without understanding, it doesn't work. I want to repeat to you, Elijah had no intentions of giving his mantle to Elisha. He was going up with it. After you have followed this man for years, everybody has abandoned him. You are still following him. And you are thinking that at least because you are the only one left. Let me tell you something. Just because you are the only one left around doesn't mean you will still get it. Doesn't mean you will get it. Elijah is the only one left. I know some of you think you are the only one left. You think you are the only one more qualified. You are the only one closer. You are the only one nearer the anointed. So you believe that no, by all means, if something will have to drop, I will be the one getting it. Look at Elijah. Elisha is about to end his journey as a man without anointing. Until he stops seeing Elijah as a prophet. Or as a master. Because the other guy says, do you know that your master, from master to father, as long as he is just your master, so you see him as a tax master, somebody who gives you work. Somebody who uses you as a slave. Somebody who makes you do things. That's how you are seeing him. You are seeing him as a tax master. You are seeing him as somebody who tortures you. So you are seeing him in the wrong way. You are seeing him in the wrong way. All the other prophets kept telling Elisha, do you know that your master will be taken away from you? Your master. And Elijah said, why didn't Elijah say, my master? Elijah was going to say, good luck. You continue waiting for me being master. My father. In other words, I will never become the next prophet in Israel seeing you as a master. Masters give birth to nothing. It is fathers who give birth to sons. Not masters, it is fathers who give birth to sons. Please think correctly. And to become all that God wants you to become, you see, you're going to need a few fathers, not just one. Let me be very honest with you. A lot of you hate your biological father today, and you are saying, he didn't do this to me, he didn't do this to me. He didn't do this to me. You see, that's your problem. Your problem is you are expecting from that father what he has no capacity to give. First Corinthians 4:15, the Bible says, For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. You do not have many fathers. Do you understand? What he's trying to say there is that even though you can have 10,000 instructors, but you cannot have 10,000 fathers. So fathers are there, but they are not in the same degree as instructors. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? The reason for that is because not one father is able to do all that needs to be done for you to become what God wants you to become. Let's take your biological father, for example. Your biological father, all he could do, some of them, all they could do was to send the X or the Y. Like, and I don't want you to think it is a small job, because it is that X and that Y that created who you are today. Like this person that is sitting here now listening to me, it is the X and the Y of your father that brought you here. Like that is actually where your journey began. And a lot of fathers, because of their background,
because of the training or the lack of training, they can't give beyond that. Like, he cannot, even if he wants to, he doesn't know how to. He cannot produce more than giving birth to you physically. He cannot. And here you are expecting him to do this, expecting him to do this, expecting him to know this. He cannot. He cannot. Even God is not expecting him to. And that's why God made provisions for different types of father. I just told you that Shaphat is the biological father of Elijah. But it is not Shaphat that brought Elisha into prominence in ministry. Imagine Elisha being there saying, I don't know why my father Shaphat is not making a way for me in the ministry. Elisha, you are looking for the wrong father for that job. Shaphat cannot produce prophet Elisha. Shaphat can produce Elisha, but not prophet Elisha. For you to have prophet Elisha, you need another father called Elijah. And here you are, always accusing your father, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do this. And you are failing to see the other Elijahs that God has brought along the way in your journey to help you fill the gap where your biological father could not do. So there are different types of fathers. Number one, there's a heavenly father. Okay, come and do his job. You show me any human being that can do the job the heavenly father can do. Only he can do that job. Then you have a biological father. As soon as your biological father has done his job, no other human being can do his job. You cannot be a child of many fathers. Like I heard of a man who told another guy that you are the son of 1,000 fathers. Nobody can be a son of 1,000 fathers, especially biologically, because only one man. That's why when people are saying, it's not my son. Okay, the lady said, okay, no problem. Let's go and do the paternity test. Have you ever heard about maternity test in your life? Is there something like that called maternity test? Maybe I've never heard. It's paternity test. Who is the father? Who is the father? And I have never heard before that the paternity test came positive for two different people. Like this one and this one, it is the same thing. Have you ever heard that before in your life? But only one man can be your biological father. So you are asking this biological father to do all this other job. But the job he already did, no other father can do it. He brought you here. Go, okay, so you say, I don't want you to be my father. Okay, go and get another father who can do that same job on you. The temperament you have, the color you have, the height you have, everything you have is the one who offered it. So you have your heavenly father, who is the father of all. You have your biological father that is responsible for your body. The way you look, who you are. Your gender, your DNA, all those things, they come from him. With a bit of your mother as well, of course. Then you have your father in Christ. God is not your father in Christ. Even though God is the one who created you, God is not your father in Christ. God has made provision for another person. It is that person that is going to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Who is your father in Christ? Your father in Christ is the person who introduces you to Jesus Christ. The person who preaches the gospel to you the first time. Or the person through whom you accept Jesus. When they speak, you finally say, okay, I'm accepting Jesus as my father and as my Lord and my Savior. That person is your father in Christ. Why? Because they have caused you to exist as a born again person. Each one of these fathers must be honored. The person who is your father in Christ might be a girl of 12 years. They are your father. And they are your mother. In Christ. Not in the body, in Christ. And you should learn to honor them because they are the reason why you are going to heaven. If they were stingy about the gospel, you are still going to be on your way to hell. And many of you might not be biological fathers or biological mothers to people, but you can be a father in Christ. Here you are, you don't want to be a biological father, but you also don't want to be a spiritual, a father in Christ to somebody. All areas, fatherless. Fatherless. Can you show me your children in Christ? Where are your children in Christ? I'm not saying the people you are inviting to church. I'm saying the people, the word, the seed left you, entered their heart, and they received the seed, and they were good ground, and they produced 30, 60, 100. That's why we are saying bear much fruit. Produce more children. A person with a lot of children is blessed. I don't want to lie to you. The more children you have in the spirit, not maybe necessarily in the before, in the natural, having a lot of children was great. But the economy has changed. Now, the more children, the more mouth you feed, it's not easy. But in the spirit, it is a blessing. Yeah, I don't want to lie to you. Don't go around there, start bombarding 4 children, 5 children. You are not serious. You are not serious at all. Except if God has given you supernatural means to do it. Yeah. God himself came to this world, he released one. You are coming here in this world, you want to release 100,000. You are not serious. You are not serious about this. Even if God said we must fulfill the end, he didn't say you, like, he didn't make it like you should be the one to do all that job. You must know that you only have a little part to play. Don't over, tell your neighbor, don't overplay your part. Don't overplay your part. Overplay your part. Sometimes you are using God as an scapegoat, but your problem is you are lacking self-discipline. You are just lacking self-discipline. You are opening where you should close and you are closing where you should open. Before you realize, you are saying, no, God said you must fill the earth. No. No. Number 4, spiritual fathers. A spiritual father is somebody who develops you spiritually. He might not have been the person who led you to Christ. But after that person led you to Christ, maybe the person who led you to Christ doesn't know how to help you grow in Christ. So a spiritual father is a person that comes along and their job is to help you develop spiritually. You start knowing about prayer and you start knowing about the word. You start knowing about missions. You start knowing about this. Like you start knowing spiritual things. That person is your spiritual father. Sometimes your father in Christ can also be your spiritual father. But sometimes he might not be. You see how many fathers you're already having? Number 5, a substitute father. A substitute father is a person God sends in your life because you lost your biological father. Every one of you listening to me this morning and watching me, you are saying, Pastor, my father died. Yes, your biological father might have died. But if you look around, you will see God has resuscitated and generated another person that seems to be playing that role. Sometimes it can even be your mother. Your mother can start doing the job of a father. Sometimes your elder brother, your elder sister, an uncle, and sometimes a brother in the church, or your spiritual father, your pastor, can become also your substitute father. It happens a lot. And you might not know this. You might be always despising your substitute father, not realizing he's the one who is causing you to exist. He's the reason why you went to varsity. He's the reason why you graduated. She's the reason why you are not here. She's the reason, like, that's a person that God has raised to father you. To father you. A lot of you don't know who your biological father is. But God did not leave you as an orphan. God has brought another person. And that person seems to care about you. That person, every time they speak, it's like you are feeling you are being counseled. You are being advised. You are being helped. You know what to do next. That's your father. But you are failing to recognize him as such. That's why the mantle is not coming to you. You are failing to honor him as such. That's why the mantle hasn't dropped. He is doing his job, but you are failing to recognize him as you should. And that's why there's a problem in the connection. Jesus says, me and my father are one. The connection is
I know who is my father. I know who is my father. Then you have your father-in-law. Do you know that the father-in-law of Moses was responsible for a breakthrough in his ministry? Not his biological father, not his father in Christ, not his father in spirit, but his father-in-law. God used the father-in-law of Moses to teach him the principle of growth. That's also a father. He's the reason why you have a wife. Then you have the father of a church. The father of a church is the founder, the person God used to found the church. That person cannot be treated like everybody. Like, you see, our problem in the church is that we feel everybody is the same. And that's why a certain blessing doesn't come. A person God has used to find something where people are finding life is very different from a person who is just coming to work along. The sacrifices, the grace it takes to find something that did not exist and to bring it into existence enough for other people to want to join it. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing at all that God has done through a person. And when you trivialize that, it means you are trivializing the grace that is working there. And God cannot bless you. Because it's not the person, it is the father in the person that is doing the work. And when you honor the person, you are honoring the father in the person. Honor the father in the person. There are fathers of movements. You have, like, for example, Abraham. Abraham is called the father of faith. Like, there was no faith per se to the degree we have learned faith before Abraham came on the scene. Ever since Abraham came, a certain dimension of understanding how to relate with God was imparted on us. So we call him the father of faith. He started the faith movement. There are people you call the father of hip hop, the father of jazz. It's people that they literally fathered the thing into existence. Like, it was there, but it was vague. Through their work, their sacrifice, and their contributions, the thing has taken shape. Some of them, it didn't even exist. It is through them that is now existing. Are you listening to me? You need to learn to honor such people. Those are also fathers of companies. A person God has used to establish a company that is now employing 100 people, 200 people, 1,000 people. Many people have food on their table because of the company. And people in the company are rather criticizing and speaking bad about the person. Yet it is his obedience and his sacrifices and his accuracy and his ability to read the times and the seasons that has allowed all of you to have food on the table. These people should not be treated as everybody. So when we fail to recognize that grace in them, God will also make sure that people doesn't recognize people. God will make sure people don't recognize the grace that he has placed in you. Because you are failing to recognize his grace that he has placed on others. Then lastly, you have fathers in sin. Yeah. Because everybody that is doing whatever they are doing, they were introduced by somebody. And the law of fathering is the same. It's the same law. When a person has introduced you to something, he is your father in that thing. Fathers in sin. Your father in sin. He has introduced you to smoking. He's your father in smoking. He has introduced you in fornication. He's your fornicating father. Yeah. He is your father. It's just that you are not, you should honor him. You should honor him that, my father, you are my father in fornication. You are the one who introduced me to this thing. Yeah? May God deliver you from every father in sin that is currently fathering you into your distraction and handing over mantles for free. He is not even
keep, he's just offering you mantle. He's going to give you a mantle of Castel beer, a mantle of Antel's dye, he's just giving mantles for free. Mantles of kissing Zulugas, mantles of kissing Swanagas, mantles of kissing Kalat, mantles of sleeping with whites. Like, he's just giving you other mantles. Mantles of smoking marijuana, mantles of smoking yahope, mantles of smoking weed, mantles of smoking this. Your father is sin. He is fathering you into new dimensions of anointing. Father, deliver us from all these fathers in sin in the name of Jesus. May God help you to recognize a mother in sin. A mother in sin is a person Satan is using to impart sin into your life. Their presence is allowing sin to enter you. Like, their presence is allowing sin to be born in you. They are carrying a seed. And you are giving birth to sin. Praise the Lord. I believe that you are beginning to understand. Fathers, they are precious people. They are wonderful people. And God has given you a few of them. In the book of Acts 7, 31 to 32, we are closing. When Moses saw it, he marveled at his sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him saying, I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of your fathers. Not the God of your father. The God of your fathers, because I've given you many. He says, I'm the God of Isaac. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. The God of Jacob. They are all your fathers, Moses. Each one of them contributed something. That's why you are standing in front of me today. I am the God of your fathers. May you recognize all the fathers, all the Abrahams, all the Isaacs, all the Jacobs. It's not only Abraham. There's also Isaac. There's also Jacob. Honor them. Honor them. My last verse to you, Malachi 1 verse 6. A son honors his father. Why must a son honor the father? Because the son must understand, number one, if it wasn't for him, he will not exist. And if it was because of him, the next level will not come. Whatever you are trying to become, there's a person who has the fathering mantle for it. Your problem sometimes is that you don't recognize the person with the mantle. So when you recognize the person with the mantle, you start honoring that person. You start seeing that person in the right light. Your attitude towards that person changes. Some of you at ABC, if you could recognize who Pastor Pumi is, just by an understanding what role she is playing in ABC, a certain grace that is in her will start flowing in you. But you are equalizing her with yourself. She is a woman, I'm a woman. Even worse, she is a woman, I'm a man. So, what can she do? And that is why a certain grace can come. And the struggle just continues for a very long time. I pray and believe that this teaching, by the grace of God, has cleared a lot of confusion and a lot of deception from your mind. That you realize that don't expect from your biological father what only your substitute father can produce. Don't expect from your substitute father what only your spiritual father can produce. Don't expect from your spiritual father what only your father in Christ can produce. Forgive your biological father this morning for not doing this, not doing this. Maybe that's why God brought that sister. She came and did it. Now she even did it, you are still angry at your father. That why didn't he do it? But you see, God provided somebody to do it. And the person has done it. But you are still angry. Why didn't my father come to fetch me from school every day? And God sent another person to fetch you from school. God gave you a friend who was working with you the whole time, the whole year, the whole 5 years. You always had a friend to work with you from school, even though you didn't have a father to fetch you from school.
But you are failing to recognize that provision of the Father. I mean, of God towards you. You are just claiming that my Father never came to fetch us. No, forgive your biological father. He did what he could do. I'm not saying he's perfect. But are you perfect yourself? Now, be very careful. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about sons. Because I cannot just talk about fathers and I don't talk about the sons. It seems to me that the sons are blaming the fathers and they are not looking into themselves. Too. Maybe sometimes, as a son, I'm also not a good one. So next week, let's talk about the sons of the fathers. Before we move to something else. And I would like to know what type of son you yourself you are. What type of son are you? You'll be surprised. That maybe you are not as good as you thought you were. That maybe it's not just your father that needs help. You too need help. Because I have the situation of a perfect father with a prodigal son. So how do you explain that to me? How do you explain that one to me? Please tell your neighbor, don't miss next week. God is going to bless you mightily next week as you receive the word of God. Amen. Stand on your feet, everybody. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. For the word we have received this morning. A son honors his father. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? That's the question. Yeah. Heavenly Father is asking this morning. That's the question your biological father is asking this morning. That's the question your spiritual father is asking this morning. Have you ever shown respect and honor to any of these people? Apart from the criticism and the insults and the accusations, have you ever seen anything good in them? No. This morning we have learned to look at our father in the right way. And if you look at your father in the right way from this morning, one of the things I can promise you is that a mantle will drop for you. Recognize the right fathers and honor them. A mantle is about to drop for you. A mantle will fall in your hand. And that Jordan that has been the reason why you can't move, 5 years of delay, all you need is a stroke of the mantle of your father on it. I enjoy the grace of many fathers. I can look back and tell you that so many things would have never moved if it wasn't for the mantle of a certain father that I accessed at a certain stage in my life. Please, don't be a fatherless son. Change your heart. Malachi 4:6, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Oh, Father, we pray this morning. Let our hearts turn. Let our hearts turn from accusations, anger, rebellion, to admiration, honor, and esteem. Father, turn our hearts this morning. Come on, pray that prayer and say, Lord, turn my heart, turn my heart. I can see that my heart is on the wrong direction. I can see that the way I look at my father is not right. I can see that the way I view my father, the way I interpret his action is not right. I have put too much on him. And maybe that's the reason why the Jordan River has remained flowing the way it's flowing. I have been unable to break through. I have been unable to cross to the other side and become all that God wants me to become. Because every day I'm accusing my father of not fulfilling his duties. Oh, Father, help me this morning. Turn my heart back to my father. Cause me to see my father differently. May this word heal me. May this word heal me. May this word change me. Oh, you are praying that prayer from the bottom of your heart. Makazo prekale vrele mande se prekanto pola manda. Shaba deve zibre kede vazo prokora vrele mende. Meson tona mazibre kanto vole parajema. Semente vreche prekazogo de baramenda. Minte prazogo da vele prente chimene. Father, give me grace to honor my father. Give me wisdom to honor my father. Give me supernatural capacity to honor my fathers. To honor my Abrahams, my Isaacs, and my Jacobs. To be like Jesus. To be one with my father. To be one with my father. To be one with my father. To have the right heart towards my father. To have the right mind, the right thoughts towards my father. Help me, Jesus. Heal me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. And if that father is my mother, I, my mother has become a substitute father. Father, help me have the right attitude, the right mind, to change my ways, to change my heart. I want to look the right way. I want to look at my father in the right eye. In the name of Jesus, no more accusations. No more disloyalty. No more dishonor towards my spiritual fathers. The spiritual fathers God has given me, I'm always judging them. I'm always accusing them. I'm always fighting them. Father, deliver me from this thing. Help me, Jesus, to be an honorable child like Jabez. The Bible says, and Jabez was more honorable than all his brothers. And the curse was broken because of that. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning, I want to pray for you. The first father I spoke about, your heavenly father. Jesus teaching us how to pray said, when you pray, say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not our God, our Father. Nobody can call another person a father if they have not been allowed, if the person didn't cause them to exist. We exist as children of God because we are born of God. Born of God, born of the Word, born again. For God to become your father, Jesus must become your brother. Right now, you know God as God, but do you know Him as Father? I want to lead you in a prayer that will help you to make Jesus your brother and your Savior. And in so doing, God becomes your Father. Oh, hallelujah. I want to pray for you. You are saying, Pastor, I want God to become my Father from today. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be born into the family of God. The Bible says in the book of John 1, 11 and 12, He came to His own. His own did not receive Him. Verse 12, but to those who receive Him, to them He gave the power or the right to become sons of God. You can become a son of God, a daughter of God this morning. How? By receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to count up to three. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, all you need to do is to raise your right hand high. And Pastor will pray for you. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. Oh, precious Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You can take your hands down. Now, you are already born again. This morning, you feel like you're the prodigal son. You went and squandered your opportunities. But you remembered your father's house. There's a place for you there. No matter how far you've gone, there's always a place back in the house of the Father. By saying, I want to come back home. I want to be born again. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. At the count of three, please raise your right hand so I can help you recommit your life to Jesus. One, two, three. Please raise it up. Oh, God bless you. I want to recommit my life to Jesus, to my Father who loves me, who called me, who is ready to bless me with anointing. Yes. Now, all of us, I want us to pray from the bottom of your heart. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.